Welcome to the Fifth Quarter Podcast. Rick Samprin here. The Ticats got the W, but lost their starting quarterback, and fans had a lot to say about both. The Fifth Quarter Podcast starts now.
We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the Fifth Quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with you just after midnight in what was a delayed start to the game, although they did start but then pressed pause for 58 minutes. And then afterwards, it was, it was all football all the time, and some highs and certainly some lows that we're going to talk about here tonight. One of the highs, though, is a Ticats win. 16-12, the final score. The Ticats back on the winning track. Ottawa's two-game winning streak is over. They're both now 3-4 on the season. And, of course, we have to celebrate with this.
We love those Cats, those Tiger Cats, the team with the spirit and fight. We'll crouch and snarl and bite and growl and win with all our might. We love those Cats, those Tiger Cats, the team with the spirit and fight. For a whiskey wee-wee and a ski wawa and on to victory.
Thank you once again to the iconic Ticats fan, Roberts, for regaling us with our victory song as the Ticats are victorious tonight, but it did not come without a cost, and it could be a big cost. Bo Levi Mitchell on what was the second last or third last play of the ball game goes down with what looked like a right ankle injury and looked like a severe one. Don't want to speculate, but it did look bad. Whether it is a broken leg, a torn Achilles, it looked pretty bad. And it looked to be a potentially season-ending injury. Knock on wood, it's not. When you're carried off the field, that's not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. There were some positives tonight. Ticats defensively were stellar. Wasn't perfect by any means. Ottawa had some big plays out there, but containing Dustin Crum and getting to the quarterback time and time again, they had 7 sacks tonight, a number of pressures. Ottawa's run game didn't really get going until the later stages of the contest. Big stop on 3rd and 2 inside the 5 to clinch the game. Full marks to the Ticats defense. The entire D from the front 4, that front 7 to the secondary gets my vote for player of the game. I don't necessarily vote for units, but tonight they get my big stamp of approval. The Ticats D gets my vote for player of the game. Bo Levi, the good and the bad. The good is it was nice to see him come back from the injured list, and especially the injury that he had suffered, and didn't look uncomfortable. Yeah, he had some errant throws. Yes, the 5 interceptions really have an odor to them, even though a couple of them were probably not his fault. But still, it's on him. He's got to be better in that regard. And let's hope he's able to get back on the field to improve in that regard. But those turnovers just can't happen if you want to be a winning football team. Some nice throws, some bad throws, and overall, a big black mark on his nights given the injury. One more thing I want to talk about, and that was second down conversions. And I think Andy mentioned it on Ticats postgame. 11 for 22 on second downs. And a lot of those second downs for the Ticats were 2nd and 5, 2nd and 6, 2nd and 7. And they got the job done throwing the football. The run game was really nullified tonight by one of the best run Ds in the Canadian Football League, that being Ottawa's, as James Butler just could not get going. 6 carries for 12 yards. His longest on the night was a 5-yarder. The big talking point, though, is the injury to Bo Levi. And I understand why he's in there in victory formation. But why not take a knee and avoid what we saw? Or better yet, stick in Taylor Powell and just run the football ahead. Not to say we want Powell to get injured, But your number one guy, your biggest asset on offense, the biggest budgetary item on this roster, could be out for a considerable amount of time. Let's not forget he was already out for the last four games. All right, I've said my piece. Time for you now on the fifth quarter on 900 CHML, brought to you by Eastgate Ford, to have your say. Call or text 905-645-3221. You can email rick@900CHML.com. Already got nearly 10 emails in the inbox. On Twitter, use the hashtag fifth quarter at AM900CHML, at Rick Zamprin. And we're also on CHML's Facebook page as well, where Chrissy says, Bo Levi sending prayers from Ottawa. Something new to the fifth quarter as well, just before we get to the phones. Andrew Mushing, Ticats hardcore fan, has done something wondrous. He has created a fifth quarter bingo card. And when you, the fans, say something either on the phone, text, tweet, Facebook, email, there could be a box on the bingo card. Now, no one's going to win anything, but it's going to be very interesting to see if we can get five in a row in a particular line. I'm not going to mention what is on the bingo card. It's basically what you say can or may not be identified on the bingo card. So we'll have a little fun with that. And what ultimately was a fun night win-wise, not so much when we look at the injured list. Okay, to the phones we go. Dave is first off the hop here. Dave, welcome to the fifth quarter. How are you?
Hey, Rick, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling in again.
You're very welcome. I guess a couple comments. I mean, a win's a win, and I'll take it. Not very impressive considering Ottawa played in Calgary on Sunday night and only had a few days rest. And all this hype about Bo Levi Mitchell, I guess I'm dating myself, but he reminds me of the second coming of Jason Moss. The guy just throws ducks out there. He's got no arm strength left. I mean, there should have been seven or eight interceptions tonight if Ottawa could have hung on to the ball. I'm sorry to see the man get hurt, but I don't think there's any loss. I think our team's got a much better chance to win with Taylor Powell than him. Like, I hate to say it, but I mean, he's washed up. I mean, why would Dave Dickinson and John Huffnagel let him go? Why would they? I mean, to me, if Orlando Steinhauer is going to stick with that guy, he should lose his job. I mean, you know, the guy's making $550,000 a year, whatever it is. He's cashing his $30,000 a week paycheck. He looked terrible. Just terrible. He's looked terrible all season. Hats off to the defense. You know, they played hard, especially in the second half. But I'm disappointed with Bo Levi. I'm not surprised with it. I thought he was washed up in Calgary. Really hasn't had a good season since 2019. So, again, people might be upset with what I'm saying, and I don't wish the man any harm. I don't want to see anybody get hurt, obviously. But I think the team's better off without him, to be honest with you. I think the guy's done. Like, he can't throw a pass more than 5 or 10 yards down the field. I don't think he threw a spiral all night, to be honest with you, from what I've seen. Just terrible, terrible display of quarterbacking.
Well, listen, Dave, I mean, this is what this show is all about, is to offer your opinion on what you think. So, yeah, I don't want any fans to sugarcoat their feelings. This is how you feel. And listen, that is up for debate. There's no doubt about that. I think psychologically for this team, though, this one's going to hurt. I mean, no doubt about it. You've just lost Bo Levi Mitchell, your prized offensive offseason acquisition. That's going to hurt in a very important part of the game. That's the mental part of this game. Now, that's not to say that Powell can't come in there and do what he can do, but this one smarts.
I think it will, but, I mean, honestly, I didn't see anything there. You know, he can throw the little passes here and there around the field, but I just don't think you're going to win long-term. I don't even think you have a chance to make the playoffs with Bo Levi Mitchell. I really don't. I would have rather kept Dane Evans than him. I don't think there was any rush to sign him. I don't think any other team in the CFL would have wanted him, because from what I've seen, and, you know, Rick, you watch as much football as I do, he can't throw the football more than 10 yards down the field with any zip. Like, it's obviously, you can tell he hasn't recovered from the shoulder injury he had. Like, he's damaged goods. I mean, it's unfortunate that Hamilton tied up all that salary cap money with him. Anyway, that's my two cents on it. But hats off to the defense. They made the plays at the end of the game, and a W is a W.
Is the defense your player of the game, or are you going to give it to a single player?
You know, really, I thought Malik Kearney played well. And hats off to Terry Godwin. That strip of that pass that was intercepted was a huge play. And he made some nice catches today, 22. But I would have to give it to the entire Tiger Cat defense if that was my choice.
All right. Great stuff. Thank you, Dave. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Have a great weekend, you as well.
Thank you very much. That's Dave's take on tonight's ball game, the performance of Bo Levi Mitchell. And, well, that offers an opportunity for you to offer a rebuttal. You know, I think calling Mitchell washed up might be going a little over the line. And let's just forget that he got hurt tonight. You know, the performance, I think, speaks for itself. Five interceptions. He's not good at any level of quarterbacking. There's no debating that. Did he make some nice throws? As I said off the start, yes, he did. He was connecting early and often with some of his receivers. The weather wasn't perfect, obviously. You know, Dustin Crum did not have a great ball game at all. I think Bo, even with the five picks, played better than Dustin Crum. But at the end of the day, this team needs better quarterbacking play overall. Better play from a lot of players. But at the quarterback position, you need the guy to be on point all night long. And now, there's a missing link there, whether it's Bo or Taylor or Matt earlier this year. There are some good plays. There are too many bad plays in that regard. 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your smartphone. Got a text from Jeff in Edmonton at 905-645-3221. Jeff writes, "Hey, Rick, without question, I'd say that was our best defensive game of the season. As the offense tried to give the game away, the D kept us in it and held strong. How the hell do you have your starter that just came back from injury run that play at the end of the game? Terrible, terrible, terrible decision. Hopefully we don't lose Bo again. He seemed much more on point tonight despite the interceptions. Player of the game, Kai Loxley. Maybe we give him a shot at QB if Bo can't go. Anyway, have a great evening. Jeff in Edmonton." You can have your say on the text line at 905-645-3221. Use that number to call. You can also email Rick at 900CHML.com. On Twitter, at AM900CHML, at Rick Zamprin. Use the hashtag fifth quarter. And we're also live on CHML's Facebook page as well. First time out and more of the fifth quarter to come here on 900CHML.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter. Powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
The call, Bo Levi Mitchell trying to go straight ahead, and oh no. Bo was very slow to get up. Oh no, he's grabbing his right ankle. You have to be kidding me. Bo Levi Mitchell is hurt. He's hurt on this play from the two, where he's basically just trying to dive ahead.
Not a good ending, despite the W for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They end up beating Ottawa tonight 16-12 as we welcome you back to the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML. Rick Zamprin with you in the early hours of Saturday morning as we reflect on this game and Bo Levi Mitchell's injury. If you have an opinion on that or the game itself, give us a call at 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your cell phone. Email Rick at 900CHML.com. On Twitter, use the hashtag fifth quarter, at Rick Zamprin, at AM900CHML. And we're also live on CHML's Facebook page, too, where Ian says, "I think it's time for Bo Levi Mitchell to realize his career may be over. He has become injury-prone over the past few years. Powell could have done just as good of a job. Schiltz, if healthy, would have played just as good or better. Time to release Erlington. He has been injured more in the last few years than Drest. Defense played awesome. The whole defense is my player of the game." Ian, thank you for that comment on CHML's Facebook page where you can watch live. Wes has called into the fifth quarter. Wes, you're up next here. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Good morning, by the way.
Yeah, same to you.
I just wanted to touch quickly on what Dave was saying about how we would have been better off with Powell at quarterback today. I'm not necessarily think that's true. I think that just experience alone makes Bo a little bit more of an asset. And I know when I say experience makes him sound old, and that's not what I'm trying to get across either. I just think that I said to you on Twitter, I was encouraged that in his first game back, he felt comfortable slinging it. He was moving out of the pocket. couple of his interceptions were just 50-50 balls, but there were some that were just unforced errors. Like, I'm thinking about the first one. I believe he was throwing it to Duke Williams. He overthrew him by about 2 feet. And it's just, I'm not as confident in him as I thought I would be. I was very excited when we signed him, obviously, because of what he's done in the CFL. But I don't know. I'm not as confident. But tonight, our defense played fantastic. Like, I think that's the best we could have hoped for. Just with the situation, I was impressed today, too, that Ottawa's last two games, they've scored over 30 points. Tonight we held them to 13. And Crum, side note here, I think he might be my new least favorite quarterback in the CFL, strictly because of how TSN was kept saying Crumback. If I have to hear Crumback one more time, I'm like, he's fantastic and very exciting, but I think just based off the TSN coverage tonight, he might be my new least favorite quarterback in the league.
Wow. Well, you know what? Don't blame it on him because he's not going there, but I get your point.
Oh, no, absolutely. He's fantastic. And, like, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan in the NFL, so he reminds me a lot of just Lamar, how he wants to just run out of the pocket and make things happen. That's the greatest quarterbacks in the CFL have always been those kind of players, so that's what we need, especially with such a large field. He has so much room to play with. But I guess a question I had for you was something that I saw some people posing on Twitter. Our receivers just aren't, aside from Duke Williams, who I was really excited about. I was excited about Lamar Durant last year also, but I'm really excited about Duke Williams and what he brings to our team. I just don't think our receivers are physical enough. I understand some of them are on the smaller side, but they're not as physical enough as they need to be. They're not coming back to balls, and they're not finishing their routes either, which is frustrating to watch. I just wanted to get your thought on that.
Well, we saw several examples tonight. I think Tim White was involved in a couple of them where those 50-50 balls and a couple of them were intercepted. I mean, you have to fight for that ball. You're either getting it or no one is. And I didn't see that from White tonight. I'd love the signing of Duke Williams. He's a big body, especially in the red zone, which we saw tonight, catching what was another 50-50 ball, and he uses his physique to get in front of the DB to make the catch. Keandre Smith is not used enough on this offense. Richie Sindani is not used enough. Godwin seems to be one of the favorites of whoever the quarterback is in, and he's having, you know, an okay year, seems to be making the catches that he should be making, and had a big strip after the, you know, the one pick tonight. But in the end of the day, this receiving core, top to bottom, is not as deep, not as explosive as it has been in the past. They've taken a step back in that talent pool.
And just because I don't want to take up too much of your time, I just wanted to get your thought on one more thing, because it's something that I've been thinking about watching the games. The receivers, it's not as deep. We don't have the depth. You're absolutely right. But, I mean, I don't want to be the guy on here that's going to harp on the coaching staff, because everyone's going to do that. But I just think with Tommy Condell's, his offense is so one-dimensional that if we switched it up a little bit, even just slightly, threw in some new plays, I don't know. We got some speed. I just don't think that they're being used properly. They're being used as, like, down-to-down route-running receivers, and they're not doing that. So I think you need to open up some creativity and let the speedsters do what they do, you know, sort of what we did with Speedy Banks, et cetera.
Well, two of the best plays in offense this year, tonight, Kyle Loxley's 75-yard touchdown, Chris McAllister a few weeks ago against Ottawa, 64-yard touchdown, both screen passes. Use the talent that they have to make the big plays, because we're not necessarily getting that from the quarterback, but if you can get the blocking downfield and use these guys and use them what they do best, I think you're going to score a lot more points.
I couldn't agree more. Anyways, Rick, you have a wonderful rest of your show and have a great weekend.
Hey, before you go, who's your player of the game?
Oh, Malik Kearney. He was just a force out there. And this is contradicting what I said about Crum. He took some shots tonight, and I couldn't believe how he just kept putting his body in harm's way. Oh, what an exciting game. It just sucks it had to end that way.
Yeah.
But anyways, have a great weekend. Have a great rest of your show.
You too. Thank you very much, Wes. And that leaves room for you to call in at 905-645-3221, *9900 on your smartphone. Got an email from Tom who says, "Hi, Rick. To sum it all up, I know we won tonight, but There's definitely something wrong. That email from Tom. Well, there's a lot wrong when QB number one goes down, and now I think psychologically this is a big blow to this team. Brendan on our text line at 905-645-3221 says, Rick, not a very promising game from this team. Defense playing very strong, but the offense just sucks. Then add the bow injury. Anyways, I believe in this team through paper. Our team is ridiculous on paper, but something is missing, perhaps chemistry. Either way you look at it, it's not pretty. But the hope isn't over for the Cats. They just have the players, but they must put it together. Player of the game, Stavros Katsantonis. That text from Brendan. You can text as well, 905-645-3221. You can also call in at *9900. Got an email from Robert. I'll read this one just before we go back to the phone lines. Robert says, promising, but closer than it needed to be. Almost too close. Let Ottawa off the hook due to a lack of discipline after the play penalties. Defense played well. A number of player of the game candidates, special teams, and defense get the nod from me. Thought Bo looked good overall. Some rust, but the offense looked good. Hope he's not out. Bad play call, Robert. On the email. You can email at rick@900chml.com. One more call before we go to break, and that will go to Dave in Grimsby. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
I'm okay.
It's always nice to hear the victory song.
Yes, Robert belted out great years ago, and we're going to continue to play that forever.
Absolutely, my friend. I'm going to start out right away by saying defense is my player of the game. Special mentions to Carney and George Jr. George Jr. is taking a lot of heat this year. He made a big interception tonight. So, you know, defense is good. But I'm going to go against a lot of people calling tonight. I thought Bo Levi had a good game. I think you take away those five interceptions and everybody would be, you know, very happy with his performance. And, you know, it reminds me of a game when they signed Burris, and it was about midway through the Burris' first season in Calgary, where it was one of the best performances I've ever seen by a Ticap quarterback, except for the seven turnovers. I think he had like four interceptions and three fumbles. And they lost 38-35. You know, it was one of those games for Bo Levi where, you know, he threw five picks, but three of them, I can say definitely three of them weren't on him. Two of them were the fault of Godwin. One of them, he was doing a quick slant, and the DB jumped him, and he just kind of stood there and didn't do anything. The second one bounced off of Godwin's pads and into the arms of a defender. And the third one that wasn't his fault was, under 20 seconds left in the first half, and instead of kneeling the ball with a 9-3 lead, you're asking your quarterback to go up the middle. And he's going to Butler, who's not a wide receiver, and he just waits for it to fall in his arms. He's not jumping up playing defense. You know, a receiver would have seen that ball is not going to get to him, and half of your job as a receiver is to play some defense when the time comes. So at least three of them aren't on Bo Levi, and with the exception of those five interceptions, I thought the Ticats offense was better than it's been all season.
You know what? You're not wrong in that regard. They didn't run the ball very well, but they did move the ball in key situations. And I'll go back to that 11 of 22 on second down. You know, the red zone touchdown at the start of the game. These are all positives. Yeah, the five turnovers stink, and we don't want to see that. The offensive line still needs a lot of help, especially in the run game. But I think you nailed it. This team offensively has so much more potential that it's there. And I think slowly but surely they have been putting some good performances together. But at the end of the day, you know, beating a team like Ottawa by 4 points when it could have been, let's just
20?
Say, yeah, 28 to 12. Could have been 28 to 12, 30 to 12.
They're allergic to touchdowns. It's
I think
like
so.
Since the beginning of the season. Every time they get in the red zone, even this game, they get in the red zone late in the second quarter and they get a time count. Why isn't Steinauer calling the timeout? And then, you know what? I'm going to get to Steinauer now. You know what? Lately, he has been one of the dumbest coaches in the CFL. And it's proof tonight, having Bo Levi in under 12 seconds left, when you have three downs and you can just kneel it twice. You can just kneel it twice. But instead, you have Bo Levi do a little sneak, and now he's messed up his ankle. So what? He's either done for the year, or we're going to get him back in, what, week 14 or 15?
Yeah, who knows? It looked like a potentially season-ending injury to me.
What is the coach thinking? I don't understand. You got Loxley. You got Powell. They even used Loxley at quarterback early in the game. Why is Bo Levi Mitchell going out there with 12 seconds left where he could just kneel the ball and doing a sneak? This, to me, is a fireable offense. It is unacceptable. And that's why he's the first player to run it, or the first guy to run out on the field and be like, oh, my God, he's running out there. It's like, it's your fault, man. Why are you running out there like something happened? It's your fault.
Yeah, and it could be a season-changing event, that is for sure.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It doesn't make sense to me. Why? Why is he out there?
Good question. We didn't get the answer in the postgame, that's for sure. Maybe we'll get it later on this week. Dave, I'll let you go. Thanks for the call.
You know what? It's always like this with Steinauer, just fluffy stuff with Steinauer. But now a situation like this comes up, I want to see what he's going to say when he has to announce that his starting quarterback is out for the rest of the year because he put him out there on a play with 12 seconds left, and instead of kneeling the ball, asked him to sneak it.
Hindsight's 20/20, but I'm sure there is some regret. Thanks for the call, Dave.
Cheers.
That is Dave in Grimsby. Got an email from Philly Filski, who says, only two things to say, fire Orlando and get a quarterback. Nothing else. Oh, yeah, sorry, one more thing. Hire Razul, see the movie Aladdin, to mete out punishment for these wayward Ticats who insist on taking stupid, selfish penalties, especially at critical points of a game. It's absolutely sickening. Keep up the good show. An email from Philly Filski. Another break. When we come back, we have Colton waiting, Alan in Toronto, Manny just calling in as well. We'll get to all you guys. Some tweets, some emails, some texts as well. Facebook Live messages all to come here on the Fifth Quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
We're talking Ticat football. This is the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Third and two. Tiger Cats get a stop here. That would be football game. Ottawa, a touchdown, and they'd have the lead. Crum throws. It's knocked down.
Wow.
Casey Sales knocked it down. They stop Ottawa twice from the four-yard line when they had to do it.
RJ Broad had the call with little Luke Tasker dashed in there as well on the Ticats Audio Network and 900 CHML. Tiger Cats win 16-12 over the Ottawa Red Blacks. Both teams now 3-4, but with the tiebreaker rules in the Canadian Football League, Hamilton is now in third position, actually second position, because Montreal has only got two wins. So we went from last to second with this win. But Montreal's got two games in hand, Toronto with two games in hand. There's still lots of work to be done, especially knowing that Bo Levi Mitchell could be done and out for a long, long time. We'll get a prognosis and a diagnosis for him in the days ahead, I am sure. But not a good ending to what was a solid win for this Hamilton Ticats team. You can call the Fifth Quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML at 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. Email rick at 900chml.com. On Twitter, the hashtag is Fifth Quarter. You can tweet at Rick Zamprin or at AM900CHML. We're also on CHML's Facebook page, too. A tweet from RH, who says, another game with brutal coaching decisions and a putrid offense. The defense got us over the finish line, but the glaring issues remain. Player of the game, the entire defense. Let's go back to the phones here. And waiting patiently on the line is Colton, who's called into the Fifth Quarter. Colton, good morning. How are you?
Not bad. How about you?
I'm okay.
I just want to talk about the very first caller. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
That was so Dave, number one.
Yeah, and he said, they said Bo can't throw over 10 yards. Because I could have sworn that I saw Bo throw three absolute dimes down the middle of the field that would have been touchdowns if our receivers were able to actually catch the ball. Two of them were right in the receiver's hands. The third one, the receiver just had to run his route a little bit farther, and he would have caught it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think the comment was he doesn't have the arm strength to throw it downfield with much gusto. Right? It gets there, but it's a little wobbly. I think that's what Dave's number one comment was.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they looked okay. I didn't really, like, I don't know, but everyone's entitled to their own opinion. However, I agree with everyone was saying about Steinhauer leaving him in for that last play of the game. I don't know what he was thinking there and why didn't he just take a knee instead of trying to dive forward. But one of my biggest points is Chris Edwards. You got to get this guy under control. He's a great player, but he takes a lot of stupid penalties, and we need to get him under control. He's going to cost us some games. I thought he was going to cost us a game tonight with the stupid call that he took. I understand that he's a great player, but we got to reel him in, or he's going to cost us a big game down the line, and that's what I'm really worried about. I don't know about you.
Oh, I'm totally in the same boat. Like, these selfish penalties, I don't care who takes them. He just happens to take the bulk of them. Like, they are ridiculously bad.
Oh, I know. It was so hard to keep your composure as a fan to watch it. But he's a player. He's got to keep his composure more than us, which is even more frustrating. But I thought, overall, Bo played well. He had that drive right at the beginning of the game that got stalled because of the rain. Then he comes out, and he has a drive, and he scores a touchdown. I mean, our receivers, as professional receivers, should be able to go up and wrestle for a ball. If they don't think they can catch it, they should have to go try to get up, try to disrupt it so it doesn't get intercepted. I think it was Tim White, when it was going to go to him, he stopped, Rick. I swear, he stopped. He looked up at the ball, and he saw the DB going up and catch the ball. He just stopped his route. Instead of trying to jump up and wrestle with the DB and try to bring the ball down so it doesn't get intercepted. Or at least try to swat it away himself so it doesn't get it. But he just stopped and looked and saw the ball go into the DB's hands. I feel bad for any of our quarterbacks. I feel like our receivers just haven't wrestled for the ball at all year. It's so frustrating to watch. You watch every other team, especially, which makes me sick to my stomach to say it, the Argos receivers. If they aren't going to catch the ball, they go up and they try to wrestle with the ball so it doesn't get intercepted.
I made this point earlier in the game. If you're not catching the ball, you're making sure no one else is. And they're not doing it enough of that.
Exactly. It's frustrating to watch. And they I don't know who has to say it in practice, but they got to speak up and say, okay, you guys got to, if you're not going to catch the ball, wrestle for the ball and wrestle the guy to the ground at least, right?
I agree. Colton, who's your player of the game tonight?
Malik Kearney. Easily. He was awesome tonight. I think you heard his name almost every single time he's on the field. He played so well.
He was sensational. 5 defensive tackles, couple of sacks, and the leader right now for player of the game. Colton, thanks for hanging on and for making some great comments as well.
No worries. Have a good night.
You too. That is Colton exiting the fifth quarter. That means room for you to enter at 905-645-3221 *9900 on your cellular device. To the CHML Facebook page we go. Lots of comments coming in. Todd says, why does this win feel so disappointing? Well, yeah, it does kind of feel like that, right? 16-12, but it's a big but. Bo Levi goes down. Ian says, ugly win, but we'll take it. On the positive, we are 2nd in the East, 2 games behind Toronto. LOL. Steve says, player of the game, Kearney. Good second down conversion rate. Looking forward to seeing how Powell, but Bo will be better. He didn't look terrible, in my opinion. And Chrissy says, give credit to Lewis Ward for a 54-yard field goal to tie the game. Crazy, but crumbs, 9 lives were up. Well, it's the good play of the Ticats defense that really kept Crum in check tonight, that is for sure. Email from Lance. Lance says, not sure what the previous caller is watching, but I think Bo played a heck of a game. He was old school, slinging that pigskin out there and giving his receivers a chance to make a big play. Fantastic Friday night game. Tiger Cats defense stepped up again, like they typically do more often than not. Too bad Bo was left in for a meaningless play at the end. Not sure what the OC was thinking there, but put in the backup and save our QB1. Regardless, that was a classic Steeltown effort, and I really enjoyed this one. Player of the game is the defender, forgive me, I forgot his name at the moment, who knocked down the pass to save the win. Lance, that was Casey Sales that did that. Oski Wee Wee, Lance in Stony Creek. Great email from Lance. One more email before we go back to the phones, and we'll go with Angelo. Big Ange says, greetings, Rick. Great to see the Tiger Cats' defensive performance to a man was consistent and intense for 60 minutes tonight. Game plan was displayed to perfection against a rookie quarterback. Offensively, got a couple of bad luck plays, but the defense bailed us out. All in all, it's great to see the East having exciting football back, which is awesome from a fan perspective. Player of the game, Carney, Big Ange in Stony Creek. Good comments there from Ange, as always. Back to the phones. Waiting patiently is Alan in Toronto. Alan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Rick. I'm thinking positive. It is very, very rare that you have five turnovers. I've been watching football for a long time, and it's very rare you have five turnovers and come away with a victory. So it's encouraging for me. And Hamilton has beaten the Red Blacks nine straight times. I guess they kind of have their number. And Mitchell threw for 353 yards compared to Crum's only 148. And I had some gray hair on my head at the conclusion of the game, too, because I thought he might pull another miracle out of his bag of tricks. Last week was unbelievable what he did in B.C. So it's, I'm very, very happy with the victory. And hats off to their defense, Hamilton's defense. They had 15 sacks in the first six games this year and seven sacks tonight. So it's very encouraging, too. And I'm just disappointed in that last Levi. I guess he must have felt that he was so close to the goal line and he wanted some breathing room. I'm not trying to defend him; it was a mistake. But anytime you're in a situation like that, there's chance of injury, and guess what? There was. So we just have to hope and pray that he's not going to be out too long, and maybe it's just a pulled muscle. I hope it's just a pulled muscle, but. And it was not a good sign. You're right. Exactly.
It's not a good sign when your teammates are carrying you off the field. I think it's more than a pulled muscle, sadly. There's something either broken or exceptionally strained or torn. And I know it's not the news that we want to hear, but I think we should brace for that kind of impact.
And the player in the game is Loxley. That 75-yard run, he had to dipsy-doodle his way through, and he just barely made it to the end zone. And then it was fantastic. And hats off to Duke Williams, a jump ball in the first quarter with a 5-yard touchdown near the end of the dead ball line. That was pretty good, too. So I'm going with the offense for the players of the game.
And, all right. Hey, that's not a bad choice at all.
Looking forward to next week. The game is on Friday night, isn't it, against the Owls?
Saturday against Montreal, yep.
Sure, yeah. I go to most of the games. I've been a long-time CFL fan. I go all the way back to the days of Bernie Filoni, Tommy Joe Coffey, Joe Zuger, and I go to the last 50 years. I've gone to, I would say, most of the games. And now that I'm retired, my kids are growing up, I'm going to all the games. So it's
great to hear, and hopefully we'll see you at the next one.
Yeah, and go Cats, go!
You got it, Alan. Thanks for the call. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Rick. Thank you very much.
Thank you to Alan for making that call. One more timeout when we come back. Manny's been waiting on the line. We'll get to him. We have more comments on email and text and tweet and Facebook Live. This is the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Welcoming Ticats fans, young and old. You're listening to the fifth quarter powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Kai Loxley catches another pass. Wow. He might be gone. He's at the 50, the 45, the 40. Kai Loxley, open field. He's down to the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10. One man to beat. And he bobbled the ball. He gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Tiger Cats. Kai Loxley.
I was, and honest to God, I'm not going to lie one iota. Not that I ever do. But I was bashing Loxley previous to that play, just saying that, listen, he's not good enough to be a quarterback in the CFL. And at the rate he was going at tonight, he was not good enough to be a receiver in the CFL. But lo and behold, he takes that screen pass and goes 75 yards for a touchdown. So I certainly had a big old heaping of apple pie or humble pie. I wish it was apple pie. No, humble pie. Didn't taste so good But hats off to Kai Loxley for what amounted to the game-winning touchdown at the end of the game as they win. Ticats win 16-12 over the Ottawa Redblacks. Got a tweet, or pardon me, a text from James at 905-645-3221. James says, "Hey, Rick, James from Stony Creek. I don't think it's an overstatement to call Bo Levi Mitchell washed up. Calgary defensively, or definitely, wouldn't have let him walk if he still had his game in him. That being said, he is not the only issue. Predictable play calling from Condell. How long have the Ticats fans been calling for his firing? Would like to see Scott Milanovic promoted. He is a proven coach who has been successful and has won great cups. Would think Bob Young and company would have the staff on a shorter leash considering the Grey Cup is in Hamilton." That text from James in Stony Creek. Also want to get to, Facebook message from Dave, who says, "Same old story, unnecessary penalties, poor play calling, and poor decisions by players and coaching staff. Hope Bo Levi isn't done for the season. Defense for players of the game. Hate the thought of where we are going forward." And Scott on CHML's Facebook page says, "I feel like Tim White has mentally checked out and isn't truly interested in being here anymore. Could be wrong, but I'm sure fans aren't the only ones who have lost confidence and some respect for Condell. There comes a time when players even realize this isn't working. Don't buy in and just ride it out." Well, I'd hate to see that. And I don't think that any players, especially at this point of the year, have checked out. But you can't help but wonder what is going on when things like, well, Tim White with a 50-50 ball up in the air not going for that football. Where's the fight? And I don't want to pick on Tim, but that's just a glaring example of this team needs more of a, hey, get out of my way, we're winning this ball game kind of attitude. And we don't see enough of it, especially from this offense. Manny has called into the fifth quarter. Hello, Manny. How are you?
Good. I'm trying to get all my points across it, and I can get to your what your thoughts are. So, first of all, a lot of talk about the last few seconds there and the coaching decision, which I think the coaching decision has been kind of a wacky all year long, a little bit, you know, off and on, and good coaching at times and bad coaching at other times. But you know what? Where's a little bit of the onus on an experienced quarterback just taking a knee? Like, he's not the most versatile guy to begin with. I don't know why he's jumping up in the middle of a crowd when all he has to do is take a couple of knees and the game's over. So that's one point. It's not all on the coach, I don't think, on that play. We're talking about the quarterbacks that we have and the receivers. Well, first of all, we don't have it's not an experienced Mazzoli or Collaros we have in Schiltz, although I think Schiltz is a great quarterback. And even Powell can be a great quarterback in this league. But they're not at that level yet. Now, let's remember that when those guys were at their level and they were still, you know, sometimes they'd have off and on games, they were throwing to guys like Banks, Acklin, and Addison. Okay? We don't have anybody close to that. Our best receiver right now is Duke Williams. And he was brought in as an experienced guy to kind of, you know, still at his age, can still help, as we've seen, and he's been our best quarterback. I think to the point where somebody just said about Tim White not going up for that, I honestly think what happens is when there's nobody behind you to challenge you, you are the guy. You're not going to get beat out by anybody on the bench. You don't have that same fire. So whenever these NFL cuts come up and there's maybe a couple of good receivers around, hopefully there's something that can challenge some of these guys to be better, or they're just not good enough. And sometimes we just have to realize that. Like, everybody's, you know, Bo is not Bo of 4 years ago. We get that. But a 75% Bo is still better than most quarterbacks in this league. Like, especially the backups. And so Schiltz and Bo and Powell have been thrown to receivers that are not going up for balls, are not, would be second starters, second string or bench receivers on any other team, aside from maybe Williams right now, and Tim when he wants to play, okay? And that's it. And that's why it's been so hard, and they look like they're off. It's nothing to do with the quarterbacks. Maybe the play calling, but nothing to do with the quarterbacks. The other thing, too, is I know we haven't had two quarterbacks healthy at one time, or it doesn't seem like it anyways. But when we ever get two quarterbacks healthy again, you know, there was a time where Mazzoli really connected with Banks, and let's say Evans really connected with Ackland. Certain quarterbacks have a certain chemistry with certain receivers. You know, a few years back, Winnipeg had Nichols and Strebler, and they threw teams off because one, of course, had a certain strength. Strebler was the runner, you know, which could be Powell, and then Bo would be your drop back passer to kind of throw it in. Why don't we do any of that? Like, I know they haven't been healthy at the same time, but it doesn't seem that we ever, you know, ever, do any of that. And that could also throw in some, you know, wrinkles there, especially when, again, you might have certain chemistry, because you see Powell in certain games. You have certain chemistry. I can't remember now who it was with. Might have been Duke. And then, of course, when it's Schiltz, he seems to have a really good connection with White. So, you know, kind of mix it up. Now, again, when they're both healthy, right, that will make a big difference. So those are my points. You know, sometimes it's just who you have, who you're dealt. This is who you have, and you can't be blaming, you know, you can't compare our receivers, probably the weakest receiving team core in the CFL. So there's got to be some fire put under those guys, but maybe bringing some guys up to be able to, you know, challenge these guys so that Tim says, you know what, I could lose my job. I better start playing really good football again.
All good points, and I'll say this about the receiving core is that, yeah, they need guys to push others, and they don't have those guys who are coming up the chain. Maybe it's the NFL cuts that come into camp to start to push some of the guys who've been stars and starters on this team.
Yeah, and my player of the game, I would probably say, I just love the way the tenacity of Edwards. I mean, I know he gets criticized. Listen, I'm an old school kind of guy that, you know, I'd rather see, nobody wants to see a bad penalty. Of course, nobody wants to see your team put in a hole and lose 15 yards. But even when the team wasn't playing well, looked like they were going half speed, he was the one guy that was always going 120 miles an hour. And I really love that player. And there's a reason why he's always been a star in this league. And I would say Chris Edwards.
All right. Good votes, Manny. Appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Got a tweet from Michael who says, can Powell be Dane Evans 2019? Not sure he's got the players around him like Evans did. Player of the game, Malik Kearney. He was a beast. Caller of the night, Dave number one. Bang on, Rebo's arm strength. And Chris on Twitter says, D won the game for the Ticats. One more tweet to get to. And this is from Ken, who says, Bo just had to tough it out. This isn't Calgary anymore, home to the darling quarterbacks of the league for the last 30 years. Well, it must be nice to have the darlings of the quarterbacks. One more email to get to. This is from Stephen out in Penticton, BC. Greetings, Rick. This one was a very ugly win. We will take the 2 points, but man, oh man. I also keep asking myself, when will all these bonehead penalties end? That's a coaching problem. And it is not being addressed. And what's up with Mitchell? 5 picks, crazy town. Are we seeing a replay of Casey Printers? Remember, just sit back and eat your popcorn and count the wins. Now Bo is hurt again. We were very lucky to win this game. Our Cats have a lot of problems, and I see not a lot of being corrected. Bottom line, cheers, Steven, out in Penticton, BC. I thought I had a couple of really short emails. Yes, I do. This one, unknown sender. It says, this team drives me nuts. Even though they won, they still have tons of stuff to improve on. Looks like they have to rely on Powell going forward. All right, let's get to some end of show awards, and we'll start with the big play of the game. Well, we got to go with Bo to Kai Loxley for 75 yards. Player of the game, voted by you, the fans, Malik Kearney. And our fifth quarter fan of the night is Alan, who's been going to games, well, since the days of Bernie Filoni, as he told us. For producer Ben Strawn, my name's Rick Samprin. A big win for the Ticats. We're back after the next game on August the 5th when Hamilton hosts Montreal. Fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. You are listening to 900 CHML.
where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The Fifth Quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.